Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports-wise, Minnesota United FC, hard team to figure out. We'll talk more about that coming up. And they got shellacked by Sporting Kansas City 4-0. Sporting KC 4-0. Meanwhile, Minnesota Golden Gopher football lost their opener to Ohio State. Big loss injury-wise to Mo. And then they find a way to escape with a victory over Miami of Ohio. So they're 1-1, on to Colorado to play the Buffaloes. By the way, Colorado gave Texas A&M all they wanted. To get into all of these subjects, football, soccer, Andy Greeter from the Pioneer Press joins us. Andy, let's start with Golden Gopher football. I know Colorado, this is a once proud program that's on the comeback trail, and maybe they're all the way back. They gave Texas A&M all they wanted.
Yeah, they sure did. You know, Texas A&M, I think, was fifth in the country last week. Came to Denver and trailed for, you know, most of that game. Needed their backup quarterback to drive them down the field and score the go-ahead and game-winning touchdown with 2 minutes left to escape against a Colorado team that's expected to finish, you know, middle of the pack in the Pac-12. So, yeah, I think that really kind of turned some heads because their first game was against, you know, Northern Colorado, which is an FC-level team, and they took care of business, I think, 35-7 in that one. So really hard to gauge what Carl Durrell's team was going to be like, just given the fact of going down a level for the first game. So, you know, to play as well as they did against Texas A&M, I think it got a lot of people's attention of the quality that Colorado has.
Andy Greeter joining us from the Pioneer Press, online at TwinCities.com. Now on to Minnesota, and this is really where the focus should be on what Minnesota Golden Gophers need to do. They led 21-3 at the half over Miami, right, Ohio, and they let them back into the football game. There's no other way to look at it.
No, absolutely not. You know, P.J. Flick, one of his, cliches is, you know, starting fast, accelerating the middle, and finishing strong. And, you know, in that third quarter, they went in reverse. They decelerated. They did a U-turn. It was kind of the opposite of what they did in the first half where they took a 21-3 lead and really looked like they were in control and going to cruise and be able to play the backups and really kind of rest up for a Pac-12 Power 5 matchup here coming Saturday. But, you know, they couldn't pass the ball. You know, they had drops. They had people falling down on routes. They had, you know, miscommunications. And they just started to run the ball all the time. It was amazing because Tanner Morgan, a Big Ten quarterback and a Big Ten passing attack, had 0 yards in the second half against the MAC level team. And they just completely abandoned the run after that first drive and didn't even attempt to pass in the fourth quarter and handed it to Trey Potts all the time. And they, you know, were able to get a big return to kind of ignite them in the fourth quarter and an interception and a 50-yard field goal. And Trey Potts had some really nice moments in that fourth quarter. But, yeah, it was pretty nervy for the Gophers in that third quarter. And I think it kind of shows that, you know, what's going on with this receiving core. You know, they're young, they're inexperienced, there's some talent there. They're without their best wide receiver in Chris Ottman-Bell. So it's very much a work in progress of what this, you know, passing unit can be on the receiving end. We know what Tanner Morgan can do. But without Chris Ottman-Bell, who I think is going to be back here this week, he's been talked about for a couple of weeks now as being close to being ready, and I think this is going to be the time that he comes back. He looked a lot better in warm-ups before the Ohio game. That'll be a huge boost. He's a veteran. He's a possession receiver. He's a blanket kind of guy that you can, you know, count on if you're Tanner Morgan. So I think that improvement will really help the Gophers here on Saturday.
Andy, I like the scheduling. I like when you get teams, yeah, even if it's not a great team out of a Power 5, you get them on the road. Why not? Let's find out. You know, it's one thing to play mid-majors or teams out of the MAC. You got to do that. Everybody does it. But going on the road to play Colorado, I like that scheduling.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's exciting. It's new. It's different. It's something that hasn't happened for the Gophers since, 1992. I think about, just some other unique road games that they had. You know, they went out to Oregon State and PJ Fleck's second game.
Yep.
They went out to Colorado State in 2015. They went out to Fresno State in 2019. There's just a lot of intriguing, whenever you're kind of break up the monotony of going to West Lafayette or Bloomington or Champaign, I think it creates excitement here. I was on the flight. I'm already out in Denver now. And I took a 4 o'clock flight this afternoon, and, half of them were wearing maroon and gold. I think there's going to be a lot of people out here. They had 3,000 tickets from the allotment from Colorado, and they sold out all of those and got a couple hundred more. So there's, probably 3,500 there, and then anybody that bought them either through Colorado or through the open market. So I'd imagine there's, 5,000 plus that are going to be here in Boulder on Saturday, and I think that's going to be a real boost for the Gophers, just because, like you said, it's new, it's different, it's a fun place to go, and all of those things kind of come up. And after coming out of the pandemic, too, everyone is scooped up last year. No one could do anything. And there was also some unique games that was going to come last year, too, like BYU was on the schedule, which isn't a Power 5 team, but, is looked at as one in the Group of Five that can rise up and be a top 25 team. And it'll be interesting to see if that's able to come back on the schedule going forward. I think it may be 2025 or something weird with that schedule. But, yeah, like you said, like anytime you're able to go someplace new, anytime you're able to play a Power 5 team or go to a unique environment, I think it's welcome for fans and media alike.
Yeah, and this schedule, at least once you get into the meat of the Big Ten, Purdue, Nebraska, Maryland, Northwestern, Illinois, you get Iowa and Wisconsin late, and there's always a lot of juice around that rivalry. Of course, Iowa looks very good. Wisconsin's always pretty formidable. But, yeah, then you kind of get into a pedestrian Big Ten schedule. It's just like, okay, next up. So this is a good spot, maybe get some eyeballs on TV, but also important for the football team itself and PJ Fleck. After a weird year in 2020, I think people are still in wait-and-see mode. When are they going to take that next step? Getting a win in Colorado would be a next step.
Yeah, I think so, and kind of the way that they do it as well. I mean, Mo Ibrahim and Trey Potts have, 75 of the 85 carries for this team coming back from the running back position. So they've really relied on those two guys, and one of them's out for the season now, and the other one is, clearly a good running back, but you also need to protect him for the season because I think there is seemingly a drop-off after those guys. So how are they going to do it, right? We talked about the passing game. Is the defense going to be able to stop the run? Colorado's going to want to run it. They've got, the Pac-12 running back of the year, the Pac-12 offensive player of the year, and Broussard, a running back who they're going to give the ball to a lot. And are they going to be able to stop the run? Against Ohio State, they showed that they couldn't. Against Miami, they showed that they could. Are they going to be able to do that? Colorado is a very inexperienced but mobile quarterback, and that was a nightmare for the Gophers last year at Maryland. Tua Tagovailoa, Tua's younger brother, ran all over the Gophers, and it was horrible for them. And that was the second game of the year. That was early on where the defense was really trying to find itself. And I think this defense here now is also trying to find itself. Are they going to be able to contain a mobile quarterback? And that's what I think is probably the biggest concern out there for the Gophers right now is, are they going to be able to keep him in the pocket, able to limit him? I think he's averaging 7 yards a carry. He's a real threat. Big picture, it's a lot more comfortable to come home 2-1 versus 1-2. They got Bowling Green, who is a really bad program right now. Urban Meyer isn't walking through that door for them next week. So it'd be a lot better to be able to come out a non-conference player out of the first month at 3-1 versus 2-2. And you need to take care of business on Saturday to get that winning record.
Andy Greeter joining us from the Pioneer Press, covers Golden Gopher football and Minnesota United FC. We'll talk about the Loons. And I don't know any other way. What the hell against Sporting KC? 4-0?
Yeah, I mean, it was that bad for all of their time in MLS before this last year, before the last playoff game. Sorry, I'm outside, and there's a dirt bike going by. Of course, in downtown Denver, that's going on. But, you know, they've been terrible in Kansas City outside of the Western Conference semifinal last year. I think they were outscored 11-1 going into that game and were able to win 3-0 and then to go and you know, get drubbed again 4-0. What I think I'll remember from that game is Sporting Kansas City had fireworks to let off after goals, and they apologized to fans because when they were scoring goals late, they had run out of fireworks. They had run out of fireworks because they weren't expecting 4 goals. And meanwhile, Minnesota was shooting blanks all day. They did not have a single shot on goal in 90 minutes. It was the haves and the have-nots, the first-place team in the Western Conference and a team that is now outside of the playoff picture, a team that is struggling to find health, trying to find creativity, trying to find the back of the net, trying to find a shot on net. It is a really tough time for this Minnesota United side that, you know, came into this tough stretch of Seattle, KC, and LA Galaxy thinking, okay, if we're able to get some ties on the road and beat the Galaxy at home, that's a positive week. That's a 5-point out of 9 week, and that's going to keep us right in the thick of things for a home playoff match is what they want, and now they're not even in the playoffs. So this is a very important game on Saturday against the LA Galaxy.
Yeah, and by the way, 7 o'clock start at Allianz Field. The good news, if they can find a way even to scratch out a point, then they get Houston, and their last three-pointer was against Houston. So they've got to feel good about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's some relief, you know, coming up. DC United was looked at as a relief-type game, but they're surging now. So it's going to be difficult. You know, this team, hopefully for them, gets Emmanuel Reynoso back. He's really their dynamic player, their playmaker, a guy who's been on the shelf since the last KC game, since he took, you know, many hits in that one and hurt his hamstring most importantly, and was thought of maybe he was going to be able to get a half hour last night, but he wasn't healthy enough, so they're trying to save him and make him ready for the stretch run. But the importance of who Emmanuel Reynoso is to this offense can't be stressed enough, because they were struggling to score goals with him, and they are a desert without him right now.
Yeah, and what's a shame, and you brought up the injuries. Is there any relief in sight, Andy, on the injury front? Are they going to get people back for this stretch drive? Because it is a very long season. There is still time for them to get into the playoff picture and maybe even get home field, but they need to get people back.
Yeah, I mean, they need to get above the playoff line first before they think about a home playoff game. You know, Robin Lud is their leading scorer, who's been out for 5 games. He came back at the end of last night's drubbing and really was the only positive sign that you're able to get him back, get him some fitness. Hopefully he's able to get back into form and find the back of the net for this club soon. So him and Reynoso and Frago Fragapane, he is now back. You know, Adrian Unu, who had a 2-goal game, like you mentioned, the Houston game, he scored 2 in that game, but had some great chances early on, and he wasn't able to convert. And he's, you know, showing more and more signs of not being able to finish in front of net and also not being comfortable at the top of an attack and wanting company up there. And that doesn't really quite fit what Adrian Heath wants to do. So then there's a bit of change in formation. There's a lot of questions with this team, a lot of pressure on this team now, just given the fact that, you know, they try to look at themselves as one of the best teams in MLS, one of the best teams in the Western Conference. And those types of teams, even if they are injured, even if they are without their best players, can go in and put in a respectable performance at Kansas City. And last night, they did not do that. It was not even close.
4-0. Yikes. All right, Andy, enjoy Colorado. Big game coming up. Are you going to see the sights? What do you got planned in advance of the game?
Yeah, you know, I flew out a day early. So, you know, I usually fly in on Fridays, and I flew in on Thursday. So I feel like tomorrow is the game. So I'm going to be describing, you know, the game as if it's happening on Sunday. I can only guess. that that's going to happen. But, you know, my wife came along on this trip and
nice.
Go out to Boulder and do some hiking tomorrow and hit up some restaurants and, you know, just try to make it a little mini vacation mixed in with the work around it.
Enjoy. You deserve it. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
All right, there he is, Andy Greener, does a great job covering Golden Gopher football and Minnesota United FC for the Pioneer Press. He'll be in Colorado.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.